Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Doctrine of Truth. I'm your host, Bishop Poole. We would like to have you to express your opinion and views about the subject today. And we're glad to have you, and also would like to have you to be one of our special guests. You can call in at 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. The subject today we're discussing, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? You know, we always have to clarify what God we're discussing because of the fact there are many other gods out there claiming themselves that they are the panacea, they are the antidote of your life, and they have all the answers, and they're the one that God the Father, the creator of all mankind, and that's what we are clarifying always to let you know the God we are talking about. He's a God of love, and he cannot be intimidated with all the wars and rumors of wars and the diseases, floods, and earthquakes in diverse places, and all the terror and situation that's going on, because he is God. He created the heavens and the earth and the galaxy, the stars, the moon, and that's what we're examining today. Why he letting this, all of this go this way at the same time. What is his timing? What is his timing? What is he really looking for? Many of you have invested in many things, maybe cars and houses and lands and property, and you begin to see that some deterioration begin to happen, not of your choice, because you invested good. You invested very good, and that's what God has done. In the beginning of Genesis, he created the earth, and he did a very good job. The Bible says he did a very good job, and you can see, regardless of what's going on with mankind and his stewardship of taking care of the world, people are killing people, or destroying the environment, or even the ocean and the land, because of the fact they have their own agenda set out. But God doesn't have any competition of his own, because he created the heaven and earth. He is the one that we have to want to be about. We have to be the one that follow his will. And that's what we're about this morning, this afternoon, wherever you're listening. And I appreciate you all are following this program. And we're praying that it can be a help to you. That's what we're about, to bring a grassroots truth whereby we can critically think about and analyze through testimonies and through self-experience, your experience that you have, and things that happen to you that you can share with others, as well as write in or call in. So we're going to begin reading in the book of Ephesians. And the Bible, again, I clarify with the Bible, we're using the Old King James Bible, because of the fact it was the translations that had happened during the time that this Bible was translated. It was given one of the clearest and closest translations you can to the real truth. And that's what we're about. We're about the real truth. There are many saying that they have the truth, they know the truth, excuse me, but they have to consider that the lives of others that are following Christ, because after everything is over, you know, we all have to meet God. We all have to meet Him. And you want to know within your soul, within your, in your mind, in all the your living that you had done, you want to know that you was following the right direction. It can't be no hearsay. Somebody told you, and you living on when you're sick, when you the doctors have given you up and problems have fallen and you have no one to turn to, you don't want to have no hearsay. You know, they told me, I heard this, and no. We talking about reality now, facing reality, and coming to the point where you say, okay, regardless of what's going on, I know the whole story. And sometimes people don't know the whole story. The whole story is that God created the heaven and earth. He loved you. He cared so much for you. And he is waiting. He's waiting for you to give your life to him. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting for you to give your life to him. And we're using the New King James Version of the Bible. And there are many translations of the Bible. And the Bible go way back. It goes back the King James, and we had the American Standard, and we have the Amplified translations. But the King James Revised Standard, the English was 1881 and 1885 was made by a group of English and American scholars. They used the Bishop Bible, one of the basic new translation, but Hebrew and Greek text was studied and other English translations consulted with the view of obtaining the best results. It held the first place throughout the English-speaking world for over three centuries. We're talking about, you know, the King James Bible, the King James. And both, then they came out with another translation, the American Standard in 1901. In the 1900, this version cooperated with the text. The reading of the previous American members of the Revised Committee, 1881 and 1885. So that's why you see me express myself all the time about what Bible, because we want to make sure we're giving you the true translation, and then you can work from there. You can go from there, the Amplified Bible, and possibly you can go into the American Standard Bible. And then they have the New International Bible. Because of the fact, it takes more than just one man. If you read the Bible, it's supernatural. The Bible is supernatural. And over 66 books, some of the long Bible, but the King James was revised in 1982. The New Testament, the New King James Version was published in 1979. 119 Bible scholars worked on this projection, on this project, in which was sponsored by the International Trust of Bible Studies and Thomas Nelson Publishers. The scholars sought to preserve and improve the purity of the King James Version, which happened in 1611. So we stand with the King James. We stand with the King James with their translation as a basic of one of the Bibles that we refer to from time to time to make sure we're bringing the right translation and whereby we can give you a foundation that you can build off of, back in Ephesians, and Paul was writing. And we were reading from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And we know we want to know what the will of the Lord is. It says, "See then that we walk recompensedly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, it's Paul clarifying here in Ephesians 5 and 15 and down to the 17. He said, "Therefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with the wine, which is excessive, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Now, the question we're examining this morning, you know, what the will of the Lord is in my life. And it, the utmost is that you give your life to Christ and you be filled with His Word. His Word is the Spirit of God. First, before you know anything about driving or any project or anything you're going to purchase, first thing you need to know, get more information about that project, to get more information about that situation. And you need to know the truth about God. You need to read your Bible. You need to find a Bible and study yourself. You know, you need to study yourself. And this world is built off of a self, you know. And the information, you have to really search it out and research it out, because there's so many claims, so many beliefs that they have the right God, they have the right direction. But once you study out God and His only Son, Jesus Christ, and you'll find that He wants you. He wants to take care of you. And everything He has, He created for you, to help you, because you are His prime investment, His only investment, whereby He had given you vocal cords and His image. He has given you His image. We was creating His own image and in His own likeness, you know, and that's how much God loved you. He didn't disguise Himself and gave you an image or a likeness whereby He was ashamed of it. No, God not ashamed of you, and He's not throwing you away. He gave you His image and His likeness, and He cared for you, and you have vocal cords whereby you can express yourself to Him and talk to Him. You have to understand and know that there's a problem. The problem is that everyone in this earth is being attacked with a disobedient spirit. Disobedience is attacking the world. And that's what happened to God. What happened to God? The enemy came up, and God created everything. Because in the Bible said in St. John, the first chapter, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him and through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, the Word of God, that's why you study the Word and you get the Word in you. Is a difference between a book, a writing of a natural man, but God's Word was written by holy men as the Holy Spirit prompted them to write. See, the Spirit of God used people to write His Word, because, you know, what's in the natural is natural, and what is spiritual is spiritual. The heavens is high above the earth. So the heavens, what we're talking about is spiritual, but God used the natural. So the natural things begot natural things. Let's see, if you have a natural seed and you plant wheat, corn, or apples, you expect a natural apple to come up. So when God gave man, because God is spirit, and He used man, He has man to write. And these holy men wrote the Word of God. They didn't write what they think, oh, that shouldn't be. No, they allowed God to use them to write. And what they wrote, and it was Word. The Word of God, the Bible said, that all things were made by Him. And without him, there was nothing made. The gospel according to John, there was nothing made. That's why it's so important to get the word. To get the word, because without the word, there was nothing made that was made. The word was with God. God said, let there be light. And the word began to move. The word began to move. And Hebrews said, the fourth chapter, that the word of God, the word of God is powerful. The word of God is quick. The word of God cuts between the marrow and the bone. You see, for the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, God said, let there be light. Now remember now, there was, Gospel according to John says, there was nothing made that was made. And it said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So the word was with God. You know, like you have your wallet or your pocketbook or your pencil or something with you now, your phone with you now, your computer with you. And God spoke. He said, let there be light. Word, go out. Word, go out. Word began to make. Word took nothing and made something. And Hebrews 4:12 say, for the word of God is powerful. The word of God is quick. You know, it cuts between the marrow and the bone. The word of God is quick and it's powerful. So that's why it's so important. If you get the right Bible, you get the right word, and regardless of what people says and things says, after a while, God's word gonna reveal himself to you, because the more you read, the more you're gonna understand him, and the more you're gonna see that relationship that you want. Because Jesus said, I am with you. The gospel according to 1 John 4:4, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the word, in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says that for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him of who he may be given account. Now, listen, now, watch what he says now. He said, the word of God is quick. It's powerful. That means it's living. It's living. The more the word of God you get into you, let's say you pick up a Bible one night or one day and you begin to read. You begin to read. Just like going into a restaurant or you go into all-you-can-eat place or a place, they have a menu. And you look at that and you say, well, what you like to have today, sir? The fish or the sparrow or the goat or the this, that, and the other, and you begin to look down the agenda, say, no, I don't feel like this. Or, well, you have a variety plate. Let me try a little bit of variety of everything. I don't feel like right now. I just don't have a taste. Bring me out a piece of this, a piece of that. And and you begin to go through that, and you say, oh, I like the duck today. Oh, I'd rather have that duck, you know, a piece of that duck. I think that looks pretty good. See, the same thing with the word of God. When you're more, because you have an inner man. The inner man is the spiritual man. And the more you feed, you have to feed the inner man. You know, you have to feed your inner thoughts. You have to feed your intellect, because we're body, soul, and spirit. The spirit must eat something. So you have to feed it God's word. When you give your life to Christ and you begin to follow after his teaching by reading and studying, and one of the most powerful next steps, what Jesus taught us when he was here on earth, is mentorship. You know, Jesus mentored his disciples. He picked them, he followed them, and asked them to follow me. And they sat down, and he took time to talk with them. He took time to see their problems. And so the more the word of God you get into you, and you know you find believers that follow this word, or somebody have talked with you about the God of Creator, ask them, say, well, you know, what God are you about? What, you know, what you believe in? When people come up to you and ask you about You know, who do you believe in? Who do you follow? Where are you going? And you know, what you do is say, you know, what are you about? And let them explain themselves. What are you about? And after you heard the Bible say today, you know, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the more you hear, and you say, okay, what God, you know, ask them, what God do you, are you talking about now? I want to know. And they begin to explain to you to the God, and okay, what kind of Bible you got? And you begin to know it because of the day, once you understand where they should be guiding and leading you, then they kind of disguise sometimes the things that what they believe. Then you know what you should do. Then what you have to do, that you have to get them to go ahead and say, okay, give me the address of where you're going and everything. And let me find out the places that you are and the things that you're doing and everything. And you can find where they're about. You can find where they're about, and you don't have to make no commitment to them. All you do is find where they're about. And when you find out where they're about, then you begin to ask them questions and different things like that. And then when you talk with them and you begin to learn about them, because Jesus was a mentor. And this area of the growth of your walk with Christ and knowing what the will of God is, all the time you need a mentor when you start off. You need to start off because of the fact that let's say you take a new career, a new job, or you're going to school, or you're learning your cell phone, you're learning computers. Somebody taught you this. Somebody taught you how to handle the phone, the computer, or whatever. That's a mentor. And this is one of the great acceleration of learning the will of God in your life that you can invest in. Find someone, and the person that witnessed to you, the person that talked to you, you follow them, you see what they're about, and the word of God that they have and not agreeing with you, then you can say, okay, I can visit a while. But then you begin to search out ones that you really been noticing that they say they're about Christ. You know, they say they're about Christ and they're following Christ. And if not, that's right here. Give us a call, and we might be able to help you find those areas or find the place that where you're located and find someone to help you to find the real will of God. You know, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you the address and also the mailing address, you know. But the will of God in your life is, number one, studying his word, getting to know about him. That's how you build up a relationship. You cannot have a relationship with someone that you saw on television, you know, way off, or you read one book about the person, and you didn't follow them, or, you know, oh, I know this person. You know, people claim they have friendship with the prime minister. They have friendship with some great actor, friendship with some great person. But they only met him one time. They gave him an autograph. And then the next thing you know, oh, I have a great relationship with this person. I have a great relationship with that person. But they don't read the Bible. They don't know nothing about that person. You know, how can you say you know God, you know of God, but you've been reading the wrong Bible? Or maybe someone led you astray. Somebody led you astray. And that's what we're here about. We're about sharing the word of God. The more the word of God that you read, the more, you know, like we said before, you go into a store, or you browse around the store, and your attendant might come and say, sir, can I help you? Or ma'am, can I help you? Yeah, I'm looking for a certain shoe. I'm looking for a certain hat. And they can say yes or no, they have it. Or in that part of the store, in the back, sir, to the right, down the aisle, you can find that hat or that coat, ma'am. You can find that pocketbook on that side. Same thing with the word of God. When you open up the Bible, and you begin to browse through the Bible, or you're going through the index, and you begin to say, well, you know, or into the back, into the Lord, I'm looking for something today, my spirit, my mind. And, you know, we talked about the certain things that we're dealing with when you begin to follow after God's word. Then you become aware. You become aware that God loves you, God cares for you, and his will is for you to give your life to him. And he wants to install and invest in you like he had before in the time of the world began. In Matthew 4:4, God's son, and give you an example, when you become a child of God, accept Christ, and then all of a sudden you begin to find out, say, oh, I thought this world was my friend. Wait a minute now. I thought that, you know, this world was all I need. But you find out the world is not, it doesn't have many promises. Matter of fact, the God of this world, he tells so many lies you can't depend on, and he deceives so much. It's very hard, unless you have the real truth, what his whole focus is. Jesus is the only panacea. He is the only antidote for anything, and he'll lead you and guide you through the word. See, Jesus is the word, and Jesus is God, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. God spoke, and the word went out, making it, developing it, and creating. And then when the creation that God made because of love, his angels, one of his angels decided that I'm going to take, because angels cannot create, they cannot develop. So this angel, son of the morning, Lucifer, say, I'm going to take. And he influenced people, his angels, part of the third of the host, to come down and say, let's go down. And let's take, let's go. And God and the angels, the other third, two-thirds of the angels, kicked them out down here on earth. And all of a sudden you begin to see, wait, hold on now. I thought this world was my friend. We had problems, but I didn't realize, you know, the world is attacking me, and I thought they loved me. And when you begin to find out reading God's word that God is the only true lover of mankind. He's the only, Jesus says, there's none good but God. And once you begin to find out, and you say, okay, now I see. So that's why the word of God is so powerful, it's so quick. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone. You know, there are so much accomplishments today all over the world. A certain percentage of the world has dominated almost the wealth of the world, and they have so much, but yet and still, they have problems like common people do. Even though they have a lot of money, they have a lot of problems. They do get sick. They do pass away. They got family problems and situations. They can come out of it temporarily, sometimes more than that, because of their money and their power, but they still have to meet Jesus. They still have to meet God. Matthew 4:4 said, and Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says it's quick and it's powerful. And because of the word, what makes the word of God different? Because the word is God in the natural. Is the word of God natural? See, remember, natural seed produce natural seed. Spiritual seed produce spiritual seed. God used that link between heaven and earth, and those that commit themselves to him and begin to follow his word, they get supernatural directions. Even though in a chaotic world as today, and situation and problem, God is using us. He's using those that believe in him, because the mind is so powerful. One man if a man can create a computer and all this technology, if they only link into God's word, John 15, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. So you have to learn how to let that word soak in your mind. because you keep your mind on Him, He keep you in perfect peace. One day we discussed about stress and how that, you know, we how that stress sometimes, and the enemy use stress to intimidate us, sidetrack us, or throw us off the track. And a writer in Europe was saying that human beings are like tea bags. Once you put them in hot water, you don't know what's going to come out. So, you know, when the enemy try to put us in problems where we don't know the answer, you know, we might fall back on the old ideas, the old man. And also, we learn how to, when you're dealing with stress, or you know it's not true, or you're not sure it's true or not, that, you know, you can always say stop in your mind. Say stop, stop, stop. Don't let your mind run, you know, all the time. You know, we live in a contaminated world, and you can be right up and down the highway. That shows you how complex and how difficult and how trying the world can be sometimes, but how much God has invested in us. He told Adam, he said, Adam, whatever you name these animals, that's it. That shows you how much wisdom and knowledge and power God has given you. And if we have the word in us, practice the word, practice the word. And if something come in our mind, see, the mind, like the mind, pick it up. It picks it up like a magnet to a nail. It picks it up. And you have to say, you have to hit the right button, delete button or keep button or whatever. You say, oh, you know, you can enter it or you can delete it. You say, okay, I'm going to delete this. I don't need this. And the enemy throw a dot at you. And you got so much word in you, so much God in you, because the word is God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So there's so much word in you. And you remember the word beginning two or three times, or four or five times, you begin to practice and memorize and repeat the word. So if anything come your way that you're not familiar with, you hit the delete button. And your delete button dealing with stress, you say, okay, I'm thinking the wrong thing. Okay, stop, stop, stop. Wait a minute, stop. And keep saying to yourself, stop, stop. Then it clears up. It clears up. And, you know, we're talking about Ephesians 5 and 14 was saying that speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, second thinking, you know, have a melody, have a scripture going on, or a little Bible reading, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So the more you have this around you and base around you, then you're planning and you are computing and programming your mind to accept certain things all the time. You're planning and you're programming your mind. Say, okay, now I want you to accept all good things. Philippians 4, say, think on these things. If we don't think on things and be careful about it and be cautious, because there will be contaminated things that will come in your mind. It will come in your mind. And you say, oh, well, how did this get here? Oh, you don't have no money, you're broke. Your tires going to fall off your car and your house burning up. So wait a minute, hold on, where did this come from? You know, don't be daydreaming. Anything come up, you know, I sit around daydreaming. And I say, hold on, stop. He said, wait a minute now, I shouldn't be thinking like this. I know things will arise, but why I'm thinking like this for? Why you been analyzing, critical analyzing this because of the fact the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. So you need to have a sound mind because the Bible says, you know, that's why to retrogress a little bit, that when you accept Christ, you make sure you have the right Bible that you can refer to, and at your own time and your own pace, you read, you study, you pray, and praying and studying and praying, you know. And so when you do get in public or you do turn on the radio, you know, this is the communication age now. We're slowly drifting into the Antichrist. And he's a deceiver. He's, you know, he's a liar. You know, the human beings, we have an enemy, and he's a fallen angel. And he does have tricks. He's very swiftly, and he's very subtle, too. He's subtle. He walk up to you, oh, give me $20. Oh, man, my car burning up. Oh, I need you right now, sir. Come on, help me. Give me your keys to your car. I got to go down the road. Oh, my baby burning up. It's okay. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, no, wait, wait, wait. You don't know this man. You don't know this. You don't know this lady. Why you want to give them your valuables? And you say, oh, sir, I'm sorry right now. But let me call 911. Or let me get you some help. Now, if you're not going to help me now, I thought you was a Christian. There you go. There you go. There it is right there. There it is right there. The will of God in your life to get more of his word, to obey him. The spirit of disobedience is all is in the world. Every person is in authority today, from the parents on up to the president of the United States or the governor or the city manager. Anyone that's in authority over people will find that spirit rise up. Disobedient, disobedient. God wants you to love him, obey him, and use his word. Use his word. We are in a battlefield spiritually, but it manifests itself down here in the natural. You know, natural seed produce natural seed. Spiritual seeds produce spiritual seed. We live here in the natural world, but these spiritual dots and situations come, and we have to know how to manage it. If you're going to be successful, you have to learn how to manage stress. You have to learn how to manage it through the Spirit of God. We're talking about saying stop, you know, dealing with the stress and the will of God. God doesn't want you to be all fearful and upset and worrying and running around. So you say stop. When you get in stress, stressful situation, there's another term I heard we had back to say, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. God's will. Don't worry about this situation. Every day has a responsibility of its own. Every day. Today. You ever heard the expression of someone saying that, you know, how are you doing? Oh, yes. Oh, I got a good day today, but I'm glad you didn't see me yesterday. What happened? Oh, I had a bad day yesterday. The cat at the parakeet and the car started up. I couldn't shut it off. Oh, I had a bad day. But this is a good day today. See, Matthew 6 says that, take no thought for tomorrow. For every day, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, every day, Matthew 6:33, have a responsibility. It has items and things that is going to go through every day. But God said, I'll be with you always. Jesus said, I'll be with you in every problem, every situation. You're living and you're listening and following Christ. Every day with him is a good day. Regardless of what the environment says, situation is, he loves you and he cares for you. If you'd like to call in and share what God has done for you in your life or what you think about the situation is, you know, if this God's will in my life, you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. This is the Doctrine of Truth. I'm your host, Bishop Poole. We are discussing today, what is the will of God in my life? Number one, God wants you to live for him. He invested so much in you. He wants you to live for him. And number two, he wants you to obey him. There's so much disobedient spirits or disobedience about the word of God, and you have to make sure you have the right word of God. Jesus said that he is the way, St. John 14:6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So following Christ, you find out he is the way. He is the way. He is the guiding. He is the guiding light. The word of God is there. It is sharp. It cuts between the marrow bone. And we have to understand. And, you know, it took time for me to get a grasp of this and to understand that if you decide to want to call, let's push 1 on your phone. But it took me some time to understand that we have to. Okay, we have a caller on the line. We have a caller. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me, Bishop?
Yes, how are you today?
Oh, Good, fine, fine. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I don't know. I just tuned in rather late, so I don't know if you've actually covered this particular scripture, but I always look at a reference to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Okay,
and yeah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to
right.
give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And, you know, I love that scripture because, as you were saying about the word of God, I mean, God is his word, and the Bible is nothing but a book of promises. And for God to say that I know the thoughts I think toward you, he's saying if there's anything that comes out in your mind or your heart that's contrary to good things, it's not from me. And that's just really one way of telling that, you know, as you mentioned, you know, someone comes to you and says, you know, give me your keys, give me this, give me that. And then you say, I'm sorry, I'll help, I'll call 911, and they say to you, I thought you were Christian. That right there, as you said, tells you that person is not from God. So,
right.
So we know that God has good things for us, good things, and we just need to realize that. I know I was thinking here just recently how I said, God, you know what, people talk to folks, you talk to folks, and people say, God told me this, God told me that, and God gave me this, God gave me that. And I said, Lord, you don't really talk to me like that. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God said to me, open your Bible, find the promise.
Right.
Okay, that's me talking to you. You grab a hold of that, and you confess that, as you said, faith cometh by hearing. We confess that promise, I'm healed, I shall not die, but I'll live. If God said that, that's a good thing. Grab a hold of that promise. Don't let go of that promise. There's nothing but promises in the Bible. If I'm suffering from impatience, God says, in your patience you possess your soul. If I know that I'm impatient, I'm going to grab a hold of that and grab some patience. And I'm going to confess it because God promised me that. And it's a seed, as you were saying. It's a seed. And all seed, you know, people realize if you put an apple seed in the ground, you're not going to see an apple seed next year, apple tree next year. But if you put a sunflower seed in the ground, you're going to see a sunflower plant in about 3 months. So
that's right.
depending on our faith, if you got apple seed faith or sunflower seed faith, you know, I know a lot of situations are like apple seed faith because, hey, it's going to take a few years for it to produce an apple. But when it produces an apple, it's going to be a sweet, beautiful, strong apple tree, and apples going to just every year they're going to produce. So we just have to believe God, as you're saying, believe his promises, and know that God's thoughts toward us are good thoughts. He has a desire in for us. If we just grab a hold of the promise and keep it to our hearts, don't let the enemy take it from us, as you already mentioned, continue to repeat that promise day in and day out. If you don't feel like saying it anyway, because the Spirit of God in us will keep that just generating. He'll keep watering it. He'll keep fertilizing it. The more we speak it, it's being watered, being fertilized, and at some point it's going to produce a harvest for us. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. God bless you. We thank you for wonderful comments from my caller and Brother Williams down in Miami. Continue to see that we have an enemy, and he deals with the spirit, but he also operates on things down here in the natural, and we have to continue to relentlessly be cautious and aware of his fighting. He's fighting all the time to pull our confidence, to pull our discourage us. And you might not think so because, you know, we was born in the natural. We're here in the natural. But when we become part supernatural, you know, there was a movie out once called Transformers. You know, we transform. But Paul already said that in Hebrews and in Romans, you know, we transform our mind. So the Bible always speaks to us about transforming our minds, but we live in the same body. We live in the same surroundings and environment. So we have to transform our thinking that, you know, we have to be cautious and be aware to put up the shield of faith, bring out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, we always have to speak against certain things and reject certain things. And, you know, because we are love and because God has given us the spirit of love, of his spirit, we feel maybe sometimes that we shouldn't have to always say, you know, oh, I shouldn't rebuke this problem, tell somebody no or stop. But you have to. You must consider that, because they're after your foundation. They're after your foundation that you stand on. All right, and if we have another caller, we can call, and you can push the one button on your phone, and we're glad to hear your comments or testimony of what God has done for you. The will of God in your life is, number one, give your life to Him. Give your life to Jesus. He wants you, and He loves you, He cares for you. And the more you give your life, the more you understand, the more you want to be with Him, the more you want to be with Him. And because now Jesus is not here physically, but spiritually, he lives in all those his believers. In the book of Revelation, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So we have a God who's doing a prepared place, a new heaven, a new earth. And this is where we are going. He's promised us, you know, a new heaven and a new earth. You know, those that say, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, but they all want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go. They heard about heaven. But, you know, it's a prepared place for prepared people. Believers, that's your passport. Your passport is you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been following His word. Yes, you made some mistakes. You made some mistakes. That's what grace was all about. That's what Christ is all about. You made mistakes, but Christ said, get up. And that's what He asked for. I would pray to Him all the time, is that, Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And when we always have the model prayer, we have a model prayer, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And how because we are a child of His and we are part of His family, we can ask God to forgive us. We can ask God to forgive us. And that's what one of the model prayers, this prayer covers every part of our life. Every walk of our life. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, others have done things against us. We got to learn how to forgive others and forgive yourself. You know, because when the promise is here, He will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. And do not lead us into temptation. No, you're not looking out there the daytime tomorrow to go out and be tempted. You're not looking for that. You're not looking for God. That's not God's will to tempt you in evil. He's not going to lead you into temptation. He's not going to lead you in a position or guide you in a position where you'll be destroyed. What? Being destroyed? How He's going to destroy his investment, his prime investment. And His Son, He had given you His image and His likeness. He's not ashamed of you, your image. He's not ashamed of your likeness. And He's a variety God. We have all type of people and languages and sizes and height and color. And they're living all over the world. And He's got all type of plants and animals. And He loves a variety of colors. Look at the trees and the plants and the roses. And he loves variety. And why would He destroy you? No. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the enemy. And it's to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. But deliver us from all that's evil. From deliver us from evil. God will deliver us, we ask Him. And that's one point we have to learn, that He's not going to overstep your will, but He's not let things come upon you to destroy you. Peter said, don't think it's strange that you're the only one going through these situations, that you're the only one being tried, you're the only one have these problems. No, you're not the only one. There are many others who have that and worse. But if you're a child of God, He's able to let you come to the understanding and say, wow, you can overcome this. You can overcome this. By your overcoming, you can share and help others. And that's what God is about. Because if He wasn't about His children, people accepting Him, we've been taken out of this world and going to another heaven. You know how those we have now that's a threat to society, they're not going to be, for some reason, want to live in peace. They have others live in peace. They want to steal, kill, and destroy the neighborhood, taking everything. And we, as you know, human beings, and we have laws and rules and regulations, so we have to separate them from the population. If God decided to say, okay, in the beginning, I'm going to take my people when they accept me and accept me as the Lord and the Savior, you know, I'm going to take them all out. I'm going to take them all out. But no, He has the power, and He instilled in us power, and He gives us direction how to go through this world to show others, to help others. You know, we are the seed. We are the light. We are the light of the world. He said, we're the light. And those that begin to see, they say, oh, this is a Christian brother. This is a young lady. You know, I can follow her, and I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk behind them and follow them, and I'm going to talk to them. You know, so if we go back and kind of back up a little bit and begin to close out, you know, what the will of the Lord is in our life, your life, to give your life to Jesus, to give your life to Him. And as you begin to give your life to Him, we know what Jesus did. He took His 12 and He mentored them. Find you a mentor. Find you someone that the person says, okay, I want you to come to Christ. I'm going to be a Christian. Number one, find out what Bible they got, what type of Bible that they're having, and what type of material. And ask them, you know, say, okay, let me research this material and find out where they worship in their home or place, wherever they are. You know, you want to be there. You want to research it out. And if you know that they are not walking with the truth because of what you heard today, then you just, you know, be like to say, okay, I know I'm not involved. But if the Word of God today in this lesson has prompted you some way, you just need to continue to seek. Matthew 7:7, the Bible says, seek and you'll find. It didn't say certain areas of life, certain problems in life. The Bible says, and you will find. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. So if you have a situation going in your life, God's will that you be successful. It's your will, His will, that you will be successful, because He wants to show victorious walking light and power in your life, because He is God. All right? And more callers. We have a couple of minutes left. And if you'd like to call in, you can dial 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. You just push 1 on your phone, and we'd be glad to have you to give your testimony or reasoning, grassroots reasoning about how things are going in your life. And, you know, you might have a question, that is this the will of God in my life? You know, and we can share it. We can all come in and talk to it. But if you'd like to call 1-347-215-8816, 347-215-8816. Now, if you'd like to write, you can write us or send a letter out to JCI Doctrine of Truth, JCI Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 2588, Tamarack, TAMARC, Florida, 33320, USA. You can write JCIM Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, TAMARAC, Florida, FL 33320, USA. And if you're on YouTube, you can subscribe at www.youtube.com. User JCI Ministry, www.youtube.com/userJCI Ministries. And if you like us on Facebook, you can join our page at www.facebook.com/JCI Ministry, Jesus Christ International. facebook.com/Jesus Christ International Ministries, INC. facebook.com/Jesus Christ International Ministry, INC. Or if you want to have a web page at www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. Or if you want to email, you can email me at seniorbishop@jciministries.org. God bless you today. We're praying that always, thank you for calling in. And always, you can view our program on your, you can go through on your computer, and you can also view the program tonight or later on your computer, and look up Doctrine of Truth, and you can also buy transcripts. We have transcripts that you can request that you may want to use it sometime for your different studies or might go back through. Remember, this is Doctrine of Truth, and we're happy to have you all the time. And God's will is that you give your life to Christ. Continue to read His Bible. Read His Bible. And you see the questions and in the whatever you might have. Go, you can find it in the Bible. You can find it in the Bible. And when you begin to find it in the Bible and you begin to search out answers in the Bible, then you act on it. You act on it. Or you find a mentor. Find a mentor at church, a believer's circle that you might know, prayer band. And, you know, those that have been in the way a long time and they've proven they have a righteous life. A righteous life is more important. And you begin to evaluate people, you know, that shows you they're making, they're walking. And you won't find a perfect one because we all make mistakes. And that's why we're under grace. Grace says you can fall down, you can get up, you can fall from all the commandments of God, and you know, because of certain things that happen in life, and God can help you back up, encourage you to get back up. Find the right circle of people that, you know, the right believers, put them in your life. Put the right believers in your life, the one that's been there before you, that can help you, and you can always find that confidence that God loves you, God cares for you, because they would always encourage you and point you in the right direction, or they give you the honest truth. So God bless you today. You know, God will that you give your life to Christ. Not only that, but read His Word. Get involved in His Word. Remember, you can't live by bread alone. You need God's Word to guide you. You need God's Word to guide you. Regardless of what, regardless of how rich you are, how poor you are, how sick you are, how tall you are, fat, color, whatever, we need God's Word, because He gave us all life. It rains on the day, it rains tomorrow, it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun is shining on ones you like or you don't like. The one that's planning against the world, God's sun is shining on them. So that's the God that you need to follow. God bless you today. And my prayer that you will continue your walk with God. Don't give up. Don't give up. We make mistakes, we may have problems, but that's what Jesus is about. Jesus is the one. He cares for you. He loves you. God loves you. And thank God for you. Share. Tell people about Doctrine of Truth. Let them view it on the computers. And you can order transcripts. And also, we have a chance, and we'll let you know again when we'll be on the air. And at the same time, tell a friend. Let them know about Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for Blog Talk Radio and their staff and all their organization allowing us this time to be with you, let you know God love you. And we do too. Have a Jesus-filled day.